Welcome to Christ Today. What is your need today? We all need something, and we all want something. We often mix up what is a need and what is a want. Maybe we think too much about ourselves. Let us take a minute and think about someone else. Maybe a friend or a relative. Maybe someone we have heard about who has been through a tragedy and they still feel the pain. It is amazing how the pain of a past event like a fire or something can be so painful. Even today, we have so many hurts, we people do. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for hurting people. We pray for people who we love. We pray for people who do not love us. Maybe they even hate us. And we pray for those who have pain so deep that it eats at their heart and their mind. We pray for all to find hope and peace in Christ Jesus. And we pray that we people look past the injustice that has been done to us. We pray against the works of the enemy who want to harm us, even to steal, kill, and destroy us. Let us who hurt change the direction of our gaze and focus on God's justice, mercy, love, and peace, as we have hope in God, Jesus. Father, let our national sin be confessed, forgiven, and our land healed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord, heal the world, heal our nation, heal us personally. We are called on to forgive those who have hurt us, and it is not that we feel like forgiving that person who hurt us. No, forgiveness is not done by feelings. It is done by our will, by our decision. And yes, me too. I have prayed and spoken to God and to myself for that forgiveness to be done by my will. And as a matter of fact, I have mouthed those words many times over some months that I'd be able to forgive. And after a couple of years, I have had the experience that that person and I have began to get along. In fact, we've even restored our friendship. So that's what happens when there is a willingness to yield to God's will. And there are a couple of Bible verses that helped me get to that point that it was a forgiveness by my will. Let's see, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And you know what? I know that I needed forgiveness. There's also Matthew 8:21. How many times are we to forgive? And it says 70 times 7. But it's my opinion that we should use enough wisdom to avoid getting hurt. Yes, avoid getting hurt, but still show God's love to that other person. Oh, there must be 20 verses in the Bible telling how important it is to forgive. I hope that you are familiar enough with the Bible that some verses come into your mind as you think about one subject or another, in this case, forgiveness. After all, we do want to know that Bible very well. We want to know Him, God, because we want to spend eternity with God. So we get familiar with knowing God, by reading His Bible, our Bible, but it's His Word that He gives to us, and we give Him thanks for that Word. Thanksgiving is what we always want to have. Thankful, be thankful. Too often people forget to be thankful for all of the blessings that we really do have. But often we look, instead of it being thankful, we look at what we used to have or what we want to have. And of course, we all understand this trait because we all have a tendency to think about what we want instead of being grateful for what we have. Seems to be a human condition, you know, and we have to recognize it with our mind deal with it and overcome it. So when we read about these principles in the Bible, we just wonder about how they relate to our modern life, the life that we live today. Our life is full of many, many modern conveniences, but it seems to me that our heart is full of emotions. That's the way it has always been. Throughout the ages, our emotions, if we're not careful, they get the best of us. They are what we first think about, our love, our hurt, our hate, our apathy, our compassion, or the power struggles that are right in front of us. That seems to be what gets our attention, but we have to let our reason, our logic, also deal with our understanding so that we're able to deal with things in ways that are rationally, yes, but all these emotions, we still deal with them today. Oh, today, just look around us. What do we see? There's so much dissatisfaction going on. There are so many people who are, they're demonstrating because they're unhappy. Look at the streets around us just in life today. There's an escalation of, even violence. And it's to the point of rioting. And there are riots going on here and there across the United States and in the world, in the whole world. And whatever we are considering to do, I hope you always remember that if we have to have responsibility for our actions, that's something that, it's always there, and we need to remember to be responsible for our actions. I recently spoke with several Oregonians who were armed with firearms. In Medford and in Klamath Falls. And they heard about the busloads of people, mostly from Portland, that were coming to protest in their towns. And what happened was the citizens of Oregon in Medford and Klamath Falls, they came out in numbers. They came out armed to protect those protesters, to have the right to protest. And by the way, they also had in their mind to protect the stores, the shops, the private property in their locality. How interesting. They were protecting the right to protest, and they were protecting private property. And you know what? I'm not aware that there were any looted or burned businesses in Medford or Klamath Falls, or any overturned and burned out police cars. And you can't help but wonder about the presence of armed citizens to prevent destruction of businesses, of livelihoods, of jobs, and of the cash flow to the government even. The cash which enables order to continue. I have been to foreign lands where citizens lived in fear of great violence of being done to them or their family, their loved ones. And I have been to U.S. cities where the people lived in fear of great violence being done to them. That's a situation all over the world, and it does not feel good. Nope, indeed, I think about the powers of darkness and death and destruction that are held back by righteous power, righteous goodness. It's a struggle today, and it is going on. Oh, yes, it is. We think about the light of Jesus Christ, and we think about righteous force being applied. Oh, yeah, we often think about our police and our military as a righteous force, which preserves order in our society. And yes, it is so true. They do. But there are also times when people who are legally armed, they also preserve order. In the last few months, I have heard people, just plain old people, talk about legally arming themselves and carrying a concealed handgun legally. I've never heard that before, but just in the last months, I've heard it more than a few times. Here and there, people say that they are not going to let radical socialist, Marxist, communist, leftists destroy their life. No way are they going to. So they think that arms are the answer? Well, they sure have an influence. I don't know about what the answer is, but it seems to have made a difference in Oregon and for those couple of cities. Well, people are concerned with preserving their rights in America, their God-given rights and freedoms. And it is a discussion that is full of, well, buzzwords. And these words will raise the alarm in people's minds. And yeah, I just used a couple of them, like radical, Marxist, leftists. They're buzzwords, but they are also having accuracy with them too. So we get to figure out what it means for us to stand on certain issues. We get to figure out what it means if there are armed, watchful men. Oh, in your community, or in Southern Oregon, or anywhere in our United States of America. I remember an old saying. It said, an armed society is a polite society. I remember, let's see, it's been over 20, it has, over 20 years ago, there was a man on the radio, Aaron something, Selman, I think. And he was part of that group called Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. And he said that in the United States we had the 1968 Gun Control Act. And it was almost word for word translated from the 1938 Gun Control Act of Nazi Germany. Well, that stuck in my mind. And you know how these days you can look up anything online? Well, there they were, side by side. The German Act under Hitler in 1938 and the 1968 Gun Control Act of the United States. Well, I still remember enough German from my college days, and I read through the German slowly, line by line, and I agree that they are almost the same, with hardly even one word of difference. the 1968 Gun Control Act in the USA and the 1938 Gun Control Act in Nazi Germany. Virtually, word for word, the same. I read the whole law of each, and they were as same as they could be. So, you know, you discover enough of these kind of coincidences, and you have to wonder what our political leaders are up to, or what is the power behind the scenes that our leaders are subject to, paying attention to, or being led by. Oh, for that matter, are we being led? Are we being led like sheep to the slaughter? Well, I do not know. But the more I learn, the more I wonder. Of course, we are free Americans, and we want to show to shout that we Americans have rights. We do. And we do have those rights until they are taken away. Our rights are often given up to who? To the federal government, so that they may determine what is right and they may determine how to protect us. The U.S. citizens, we are a compliant bunch. We believe in our government and the dictates of our government. We believe that the courts will treat us right. But that has not been what has been happening in the last years or decades. There's so many things which the courts and the federal government or any government has spoken out against our constitutional rights. And some of those cases in the federal courts, they use examples of international courts of law to determine our United States law. That's not right. Our laws are for the United States of America, and they should not be interpreted through the laws or the agencies in the United Nations. It has been a slow process for the last decades, like 30 years, where some judge includes in his opinion something about international law. And what that does is it weakens our constitutional rights, it weakens our individual rights, and that doesn't go along with our laws. There's a conflict between international legal principle or laws and upon our United States law. And I say, it's hard to believe that this is really going on. But when you see the cases, and you see them over the years, which get to be time and time, we get to realize that, oh, it's not a mistake. It is intentional. And these things come up over and over again. Eventually, we realize that there are some powerful forces that are actually working against our God-given rights and freedoms. That our United States government has protected our rights for so very long that we just cannot even entertain the possibility that our government could be against us, we the people. Are they against us? Well, they are not always preserving our rights according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So there is something that's going on in our government where there is a small group of influential people in highly influential positions, and they are changing our laws and how our laws are interpreted. It's going on right in front of us. And we have to be aware. We have to be aware of this. We have to be aware that There are people who want to control so many aspects of life in our country. And we have to see, do we agree with that or do we not? We have to look at what those decisions are and how they impact all of us, each one of us personally, our families, our friends, our communities, and our nation. We have to look because we, the people, are the sovereign. So, please, you look into this yourself and try to understand the entire situation, what it means by passing the laws, what it means to interpret them and enforce them, how we do that. We have to be in a position to examine, to maybe to challenge, because after all, that's what those people in authority want to do. They want to challenge the power and authority of the people of the United States. So, be aware that they do not want to be challenged. And those powers that be are challenged by people who have a moral principle. A principle that is considered superior to law. And our moral principle as Christians is to follow God's law. And they are challenged by that. They do not want anything to exist that challenges them and their authority. Not in any way. So we must be aware that that is going on today, right in front of us. We all have to realize this is a challenge, one side to the other. So let us make the best decisions, us, not them. And that means we have to be aware of what's going on, and we have to be aware of what things mean. It's something we have to put thought into. We have to put time and energy into, and not just let ourselves be amused by things that have little meaning as to our rights. So we have to put some effort into it. Sure. Vote yes, and also speak to your friends. Have an opinion. See what makes a difference. Speak to the people. Oh, let's see. There's that thing about emergencies. Maybe you've heard it on the radio. Don't wait, communicate. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But the idea is we need to do that in many ways. Communicate and have a uniformity among people so that we retain our rights. Well, there are powers that be that do not like people who are independent thinkers, people who might question the authority of that group. And that is why, I think, there is an effort to weaken religion, because the people who have a religion live by a principle. And of course it's easier to have a control of people who do not have an overriding principle by which they live. So we have to be aware that there are attacks upon us. There are forces upon us that want us to comply. Yes. That's the way it's been throughout history. All throughout history, there have been efforts to contain and control people. That's what the genocides are about. You know, in the last 100 years, there have been quite a few genocides. I know we all think about the one in Germany with the Nazis, where they killed 6 million Jews and 11 million other people groups in death camps. Oh yeah, those were genocides, but there are genocides that have been in the last 100 years also. In 1915, 2 million Armenians were killed by the Turks. And in the 1920s, 4 million Ukrainians were killed by the Russians. In the 1970s, 2 million Cambodians were killed by their dictator. Again, in the 1920s, 20 million Russians were killed by Stalin. That was admitted in their Russian newspaper, Pravda. And in the 1900s, like 40 to 60 million Russians more died because of their political views. That happened similarly in China in the 1900s. Between 60 and 90 million Chinese were killed because of their political views. So, yeah, we have movements and genocides going on, and we should be aware that even though we've had good government, there still are people who want that to happen in among our people. Well, a few minutes ago I mentioned that Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership groups, and they said because there were firearms in the hands of a few in the population, it preserved the lives of very many. And it used different examples to say that unregistered guns that were not confiscated by the authorities, there being a few of them in the hands of a few people, did prevent tyrants and dictators from forcing people into death camps, at least for a while. So that kind of a scenario did happen where there were authoritarian governments like Nazi Germany, China, Russia, and countries. Now, the presence of firearms does restrain violence and kept people alive. But the forces that be do overcome. It's just that it is something that promotes liberty to have an armed population. And that reminds me of a kind of a joke. What do you call an armed slave? Well, there is no such thing as an armed slave. See, that is the presence of a firearm. Sorry about that. But there are stories. There are lots of them. I do remember a neighbor down the street. She was an old lady. She's passed into the next life now. But a couple of times she told me that her gun is keeping me safe, because the presence of a gun keeps people from becoming violent, and it keeps property from being stolen. And when you don't have a gun, people know you don't have one, so they can take your stuff. And if nobody knows who has a gun and who doesn't, then you stay more polite with people. I don't know. It was a point of view. I can see that point of view, but it's a very personal decision as to what you do. Do you have a gun or not? Your decision. But it's something to pay attention to. So that is a question. Millions of people being murdered by forces, even their own government. Why do I talk about that? Because it's true. People who survived those purges, in those countries, they talked about their family who refused to believe that their own government could actually have a plan to kill the citizens of that country. They did not believe that they would be killed right up to the last moments of their life. They believed in their government. And that was recorded, it's been recorded several places. I'm thinking of one testimony in of a Russian, but the point is that writings, we can read things that demonstrate that the government and those in power can do some pretty bad and evil things, including killing millions of their own population. So we should be thankful for the government that we have in its good and virtuous powers. And so because of that, don't we know that it will never happen here? Yeah. Well, there's people who wonder about those things. I do too. Because we are moving into an unprincipled, ungodly, unscriptural direction in our country. And we are being influenced by people and by forces that are causing society to turn in a different direction. We see increasing levels of crime and violence and a decrease in groups that uphold Christian morality in society. So we have a reasonable position to question what's going on. We really do. We have a reasonable position to question the people who question authority, all of them. Or what about the people who question the effectiveness of vaccines? Should they be forced? Well, it's just a good question, because they cite statistics also. Are we a free people? What about the people who have concerns about our 5G communication system? There are people who pretty clearly say that it promotes cancer in people. Is it true? Is it not? Have you looked? Well, we have a changing society, and we have to be aware that we agree with it or we don't. And where do you stand? I know that there's so many people who see the satellites in the sky these days, and you know that is a part of monitoring the world. It's a world program to monitor everything and everybody. Who knows where it will all lead? We don't. We don't know where it will lead. Will it turn us to ungodliness? If it does, we know that God is going to judge our nation. We know that God judges unrighteousness, ungodliness. And we do not want to be misled. We do not want to be a part of that great falling away. The great falling away that comes out of 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And there's also something in Hebrews 6:6 about that. Oh, and Peter, 2 Peter 1. So there is something coming to our world. When will it be here? We don't know. But certainly we want to postpone it if it possibly can be postponed. We don't want to live in under the control of Antichrist. We want to live free. And to do that, we must stand up for the principles of freedom. A few days ago, I was listening to a 10-year-old video of David Wilkerson. You know, he is a prophet. He was an old pastor of the Times Square Church in New York City. He had a powerful vision of the destruction of what was coming to New York City. Well, speaking of prophecies and destruction, sure, they can be true, but we still don't know the time frame. The time frame is something that is in God's hands, and he warns us and he tells us things so that he moves us to repentance. Those prophecies can change. It doesn't mean it has to happen in any time frame that we understand, but prophecy and destruction of our New York City or our nation, they can be delayed. And this is what we want to pray for. We want to be a part of delaying whatever is destruction is coming. Well, anyway, on that David Wilkerson video, he talked about his own congregation and about, was there evidence of people in that congregation being a follower of Jesus Christ? Who among them would be going to heaven and who would not be? Of course, he didn't judge that, but he questioned it. And so I would hope that you examine that very serious question yourself. And I hope that you would find lots and lots of evidence in your life, in your heart, in your thoughts, and in your actions that you are a Christ follower. God tells us all in the Bible what it takes to enter into His kingdom, to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, to be born again, have that personal relation with our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And that means you talk and you listen and you look and you seek God Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to have that eternal life with God in that heavenly place. It is so worthwhile, and that's what I hope to encourage everyone to do, to have that relation with God through Jesus Christ and go to that heavenly place in there and make that be their eternal destiny. Have it be settled and sure. Before we go to our so-called eternal reward, well, no, it is an eternal reward. Let there be evidence of your faith and your choice as you live your life out here on earth. And God does tell us how to live. He certainly does in His book of instructions. So please read it. Please do it. And please put your faith into practice. Live your life right here on earth according to the Bible. We get to examine the Bible and see the goodness in it, the good examples and the bad examples and everything, and learn from that book. Learn the steps that you want to take to love God and to love your neighbor. Our Bible gives us examples of how to interact with the world, with specific people, and with the world in general. And that is what I hope our Christ Today radio broadcast addresses. I look at what's going on around us in the world, about things to be aware of, and that I hope it motivates each one of us to live a life of holiness, because that's what we're called to live a life of holiness. That's what the Bible says. Our God says it in the Bible. So please have a look at that. Also, I look around us to see what is going on so that we can avoid what worldly directions things are going in. And in that way, we can avoid pain and pitfalls that just look like they're coming our way because of the current conditions. So that's why I look at various trends and conditions, and I talk about them so that we can walk right with God and avoid the pitfalls of life. And that's why I look at all sorts of things, like the virus that's going on in the United States or in China. What does that mean? How serious is it? Is it serious? Well, there's more than a few people who say that it's pretty serious, and it's going to shut down the United States again. Well, is that what you want to agree with? Do you want to say, shut down our country, keep us safe, shut down our churches, protect us? We don't want anybody singing near us. Oh, but what about that Black Lives Matter movement? They get to sing and shout and do all those things. How did that movement get so popular in just 6 months? I don't know, but I wonder about it. I know that there's been so much political support for it, and people are getting fired here and there because they are questioning it. They are not even opposing it, that movement. They are simply questioning it, and they are getting fired. So who supports Black Lives Matter? If you do, you should be aware of what their goals are. What are the goals of that organization? Well, look it up. They put it online. They want to end all immigration restrictions. They want to legalize prostitution. They want to reallocate the distribution of farms by force. They want to provide all black people a livable income. And, of course, they want to defund police departments. And that's what's going on all around the country. There are people that are in the police departments that are quitting. There are police departments that are having less money provided to them. So when you want a policeman to come to your home, if they defund the police, it's not going to take minutes. It's going to take hours. I'm thankful that we locally have a good police response. But what will it turn into? What could it turn into? Anything. It could turn into anything. And you had better be aware of that and see what you support. I know that for me, I have lived a very straight-laced life. And my only interaction with police was for traffic violations. Or I would be at a community promoting event and there would be police officers there. So I had that interaction as well. I didn't know what it was like to be on the other side of the law. Well, I still don't. But in the last few years, because of my ministry work, I have been exposed to people who previously had led very serious lives of crime. So I mean, in the old days, I only knew about crime from books and articles. And now I talk with people who 10, 20, 30 years ago were really some pretty serious criminals. So I get a little different perspective about crime and how it would just blossom if we didn't have that thin blue line to keep people contained, I guess is the word. Well, our society has become less Christian and more do what you want, and so we need more and more police because biblical values have deteriorated and deteriorated. Now, I know 100 years ago, yes, because of my reading, but also because of my old relatives, I know that people in general had a biblical, widespread biblical values. Even if they weren't Christian, they lived in a Christian society in general, and so that people did have a Christian overall worldview, or at least in parts. So they would learn Bible things from their parents or their school or somewhere. But today, many people don't even know anything about the Bible. And so what is their source of truth? Well, it's probably based on their feelings. And how you feel can change from minute to minute. I think it's pretty important to look at those feelings and try to weigh feelings with logic, because logic is where we have to end up with. It helps us to examine, problems of the world. Sure, economic situations like our own personal budget or even our national debt. We can deal with that with logic and find answers where our feelings don't give us much of a place to go. We can see that if we continue on the path that we are going down, we are going to have a huge economic crisis. We are going to have a global economy that shrinks and causes so many people to hurt, so many people to not have enough of what they need, whether it's medical care or just plain food and water. That's where this is headed. So that's headed that way for nations and for individuals. There's only so much we can do about it for nations or large corporations, but for each one of us, we can do something about our own personal financial situation. And I always say, pay off your debt, have savings, and have supplies. All sorts of problems could develop in this world. The reports indicate that we should have some supplies. And then if you want to look at problems that are going on in the big old world of ours, well, there are problems all over. And they could spill over. Sure they could. We hear of the reports lately where warships and aircraft carriers are being sent into the Pacific Ocean. Apparently they're headed for the Persian Gulf. And you know what? China doesn't like that. They are, well, unhappy about it for sure. And those ships, they have been observed to displace more water than they used to. They are 5 inches lower in their water line, so that means they are carrying a lot of something, and nobody knows what it is, but it's a lot of weight, and it's displacing the water. So, are we headed towards something of trading war materials or bringing them into a conflict? We don't know. We don't know. But there is some speculation that we are supporting India in their border conflict with China. And you know that's been going on at 15,000 feet of elevation, where the Indian and the Chinese troops have been fighting with rods and rocks because they, I don't know why, but it's some kind of an honor thing where they don't use guns and bullets. But they are using rods and rocks, and India reports that 24 of their troops have died in those clashes. China doesn't report on what happened. They are a closed society, and they don't tell you what goes on. But they do say there were casualties, they say. So casualties includes troops that have been disabled or killed. So there is potential for something pretty big to go on here, because China and India, they both have the biggest populations in the world, 1.3 billion people, and they're kind of at a dispute about one spot in the earth. So you know something can be going on there. You know that there's a lot going on everywhere in the world. Will it affect us? We don't know. But it sure could. And because it could, it only makes sense to me to have some provisions on hand. And you get to figure that out, because we all think differently. The government is saying, our U.S. government is saying, have 3 days of food and water. Well, there's other documents that say 3 weeks is not enough. Some say have 3 months. Well, pray about it and dwell in it with your mind. Oh, sure, your feelings. And do something. Do something. Have something for the just in case. Now, don't be fearful about it. I think that fear is never a good thing. But do recognize what might happen and take steps that are reasonable to prepare. And we all have different things that we're thinking about, and that is good for us because it helps us as a community so that we can help one another. Examine this with prayer and with reasoning. And you know that the Bible, there's plenty of examples where the wise in the Bible have food and supplies on hand, and that protects them. And nowadays, there are a growing number of people, more and more, in the United States, see that there is some kind of a crisis coming. And some of those people have YouTube channels, and they offer free advice, and some people have something to sell. I do like listening to several of them who have experience and knowledge. Ron Paul is one of them. He's the retired congressman. And does he see a crisis coming, in chaos coming to America. I listen sometimes to that author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. He talks about what to do in the event of a crisis. And he expresses great concern about something coming pretty simple and pretty in a pretty short term in terms of a collapse and our money becoming worth less and less, like one-third less. What do we do if we can only buy one-third of what we can buy now? That a part of that's deflation and a part of that is inflation. Anyway, he suggests that we do not cry out to our government for what we need. He says, let us learn a skill and let us sell our talents and abilities, and that can be done no matter what the dollar does, no matter what the markets do. Our skill is still a skill, and we can market it. We can sell what we know. But to do that, you have to get some knowledge. And he says, right now, it's so easy to get knowledge. You can look on your smartphone, you can look on your computer, and you can gain knowledge and skills. It's free. It's easy. And that's what I hear Robert Kiyosaki saying. He also has a thinking that this could happen in months, where we could get hit with a real crisis. A couple of months away, or 6-8 months away, it could happen in a relatively short period of time. So, we get the warnings. What if these people are wrong? No problem, we still have the supplies. But what if they're right? Then we have something. We have something that protects us and the people that are in our community or in our family. And yes, we're thankful for that. If we have that kind of a trouble coming, we will be grateful for every bit of supplies, every bit of food. And you get that while you can, while the supplies are available. It is less expensive than if there's a crisis. So you want to look at how you can prepare now. Yes, to help others, and even to help your family or yourself. And I know from experience that when you are really hungry, even a simple big bowl of rice can be so good. And if you have a little flavoring on it, all the better. So just think in terms of being prepared in any little ways that you can, because a little help turns into a big help when it's a great need. So look at that. Things could get serious. They really could. On a daily basis, things could get really serious. And even right now, We've got things going on where there's powers of good and evil. They are at odds. The evil says there is an eclipse coming, and that is a time that they want to use the darkness to war against this world, to war against the Gentiles and the people of God. And they want to promote a confusion and destruction. And all these things, it only makes sense that we're a little bit prepared for. So yes, look at, realize there are people who want to have destructive forces put upon the world and a new order of evil put upon everything that's around you. You have to fight for what is good in your heart and in your mind. I hope it never comes to the physical fight, but it might. So be aware of what has gone on in history, what is going on in front of you. As a nation turns from God, things happen, sometimes in hours, sometimes in months or years. Will we repent? Will we turn back to God? I don't know. But with the seriousness of what is going on, I hope that you get food and supplies while they are available. Take steps now. Don't wait until you see a crisis is coming, because at that point, you don't know if anything will be available. When everybody knows that there is a crisis or a natural disaster coming, yeah, things disappear from the shelves. And we just had one of those with that virus coming along, and everything disappeared from the shelves. It could happen again. So have a plan. Carry it out. See what is most important to you and get it. It might not be toilet paper. It might be food. So be conformed with the likeness of Jesus. Oh, that's Romans 8:29. So we want to remember everything that is in the Bible and how we can be godly, holy, and obedient. Listen to what the Bible tells us. And I hope you do read and study our Bible. I do have thoughts about food and water for preparedness. If you'd like to get my pamphlet, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And listen again to this or another broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase, no spaces. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.